Good evening. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hankering. And sorry, I keep playing that. Don't mean to. You are listening to Hankerings here on Global Patriot Radio. We can be found on blogtalkradio.com. Starting every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al, Mamma Mia, No Sharia. Wednesdays, me, Hank Jones. Hank Jones Poly Sports, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We discuss politics and sports and those unfortunate times, usually, when they collide. Rarely do they collide with anything that's good. Saturdays, Minister Usama Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Occasionally on other days, I will pull in with a Hankerings, which is my shortened version of my show where I usually focus on a single issue. Vito may come in from time to time, Tuesday, Thursday, or who knows, with a show, voice, or, gosh, I forgot what he called it for a while. Vito's voice was one, Take Back America, I think. No, it wasn't that. I don't remember. I was never able to listen to it. Like one time I was able to for like 20 seconds or something. I did call in, I guess, on a Friday one time. Anyway, that's what goes on here. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio, Joseph Gibson, Restoring Our Republic, goes usually Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe. He might go Wednesdays as well sometimes. Just depends, I think. Joseph is also running for State House in North Carolina, District 65. So if you are a North Carolinian who resides in that district, please find out about Joseph Gibson and why you should be supporting him in our effort to restore our republic. Southern Sense Radio, Fridays usually, I think it's noon or maybe it's 1 o'clock. Southern Sense Radio with Curtis Bennett as her sidekick, assistant slash renaissance man, do everything. Tim Tapp, Tap Into Truth. I'm trying to think who else. Audrey Russo, go to audreyrusso.com. Sally and others on American Statesman. I know she goes Mondays. She might go other days as well. And I'll tell you the best way to find those out. Look them up. American Statesman, Audrey Russo, et cetera. Look those up. Tap Into Truth. Look them up on Blog Talk Radio. You can go in and listen to an archived show. You don't have to go and listen to it live. You can go in and listen to an archived show, and then you can click follow. That's if you have a Blog Talk Radio account. It's free. You can log into, you know, your account, go into chat rooms of those shows when they're live, and interact with others in there. But you don't have to listen to them that way. You can listen to them archived and follow them, and you'll get email alerts. It's a good way to do it. Good way to do it. How do you listen to our show? Well, again, you can listen to the archived version. You can come in live. You'll get an alert from our shows if you follow us, any of our shows, and come on in. Now, if you set up an account, you come in, you click live. You go down and on the bottom right and look at chatters, and it'll tell you who's chatting, what shows are open, what shows are live. You click in there, you come in, your name shows up, interact with the others in the chat room, hopefully in a civil manner, and then you can voice comments about the show. Another thing you can do, you can call in 319-527-6706. Call into the show. You can listen that way. Just listen along. You don't have to do anything. If you decide you want to talk, you have something you want to say, click the one. The host will get a little hand signal, a little hand raise signal next to your phone number, and then they know. Now, they can screen you, but an easier way is if you're logged into chat and you decide you want to call in, just do what Holger does. Just say, hey, I'm in the queue with your area code. Holger will say, I'm in the queue, here's my area code, and go from there. That way you know. You know what's going on. So what are we talking about today? The Second Amendment. That's what I told you I was going to be talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just, you know, this is in response, obviously, to the shootings in Maine this week. So let's refresh some folks. The Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, of the Bill of Rights, says a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You would think. Well, what does it mean? Okay, number one, militia is not military. Militia is not the military. Militia can be the civilian makeup of civilians of a sovereign entity, a state, a county, a region. It just depends. In the United States, each state has its own militia by design, and then collectively we make up the militia of the United States. Does not mean military. Does not mean that we're active or inactive. That's not what it means. It means that you are expected to be part of the protection, continuance, and the assurance of sovereignty in our nation. Now, here's one of the things is you can ask, what was the original intent? Many historians agree that the primary reason for passing the Second Amendment was to prevent the need for the United States to have a professional standing army. That is true. That was a desire. And it says, at the time it was passed, it seems it was not intended to grant a right for private individuals to keep weapons for self-defense. That is absolute bunk. And I will get to that later, but that is absolute bullshit. Just going to say it. That was absolute bullshit. Now, another question says, has the Second Amendment ever been changed? And then it says, in District of Columbia versus Heller, the Supreme Court handed down a landmark decision that held the Second Amendment protects an individual's right to keep a gun for self-defense. Now, it says, this was the first time the court has ruled that the Second Amendment guarantees an individual's right to own a gun. You know why it was the first time? Because up until recently, it was always understood that an individual's right to keep and bear arms was not to be infringed. But that right existed. It was a God-given right, as our framers intended it. So militia is not military, number one. Number two, regulate. A well-regulated militia. It does not mean what people think it means, what the liberal gun grabbers think it means. Their minds, regulate is like an orgasmic verb, control. Stop, monitor. That's not what it meant in this case. It's not what it means like when you have a scuba regulator. Regulate means to balance, maintain, manage. So a balanced, maintained, and managed militia does not mean control of the people. So some interpretations. Giffords Law Center, that's Gabby Giffords, who was shot, disabled by a crazy firearm possessor. But I figured I'd read them to see what they say. There have been two landmark Supreme Court rulings on the Second Amendment, District of Columbia versus Heller and McDonald versus the City of Chicago. The court ruled in Heller's favor, affirming an individual right to keep handguns in the home for self-defense. The District of Columbia had a ban on handguns in the home. Supreme Court said absolutely not. Now, Antonin Scalia said, like most rights, the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited. It is not a right to keep and carry any weapon whatsoever in any manner whatsoever and for whatever purpose. Guess what they didn't do? They didn't go further what he said. He said there can be abuses. Duh. But, of course, he had to say that. You know why? You know why they had to say that? Because, of course, people took that as, oh, see what he's saying? What he's saying is that it doesn't give you the right to go shooting up anybody anywhere for whatever purpose. That's a given. People understand that. We didn't need the Second Amendment to clarify that or codify that. The court provided examples of laws that are considered presumptively lawful. Prohibition of firearms possession by dangerous people. Again, duh. Forbid firearm possession in sensitive places such as schools and government buildings. Again, not necessarily fully blown okay, but, you know, if a business says no firearms in here, by the way, they do that at their own peril, but if they say that, you have to abide. impose commissions on the commercial sale of firearms. Now, again, it's not willy-nilly. Some of those conditions would be a certain age limit. Someone who doesn't pass a background check. Now, I'm not necessarily against background checks. I'm not necessarily for intrusive background checks. I'm not in favor of background checks where you have to wait an exorbitant amount of time. I think if you have to wait more than 30 minutes, now, if that means everybody's waiting, it's backed up, that's one thing. You know, a huge sale or something like that. I could see that happening. I can also see where if everybody's in the store buying firearms and 10 people fly right through and another person gets slowed down, well, guess what? It could be a red flag. And guess what? We should honor that. I'd want to know. Now, they say the Heller decision was far from the blanket endorsement of limited gun rights that the gun lobby hoped it might be. It wasn't a blanket endorsement. That's not what it said. It said clearly that the right to keep and bear arms in one's household was not to be infringed. Now, McDonald versus City of Chicago. Now, the Supreme Court held there that the Second Amendment applies to state and local governments in addition to the federal government. It said, again, while Chicago's complete handgun ban was overturned, the court reiterated a variety of state and local gun laws are constitutionally permissible. And again, nobody's arguing that. I am for an unlimited Second Amendment. I'm not for an abuse of the Second Amendment. I'm not for a Second Amendment that isn't subject to certain things like crime. Again, you are the right to keep and bear arms is not to be infringed, but law breaking, whether it's the First Amendment or any other amendment, breaking the law is not permitted under those amendments. Nowhere. Of course not. Now let's address the recent shooting spree in Maine, along with some responses, Pavlovian naturally, from the anti-Second Amendment / anti-gun / anti-liberty crowd. Now, as we know, Wednesday night, a gentleman named Robert Card, this is what we're being told. It's not necessarily what we know. It's not necessarily what happened. It's what we're being told. Robert Card is a suspect in a mass shooting at two different locations in Lewiston, Maine, leaving 18 dead. Now, remember when it was 3 and 4 places? And it was 22 dead. Now, 18 dead is no picnic. That's not what I'm saying. But again, we've got to be careful. I mean, this is how sad it is. Take, for example, 50 years ago, if Dan Rather reported something on the news, you may not have agreed with it. You probably figured he had his own slant on how he was reporting it. But you pretty much trusted him that he wasn't making something up or he wasn't wholesale distorting. Now you just don't know. And that's why I say this is what we're being told. That Robert Card, who was a Army reservist and may or may not have been crazy, may or may not have been dismissed via Section 8, sounds like it's confirmed that he was referred for legal or for mental health evaluation. But apparently, Robert Card, at two different places, a mass shooting that left 18 people dead and 13 injured. Now, car has not been located. They are searching. Some of it they're doing, you know, okay. So the shelter in place has been lifted. Shelter in place order is rescinded. While it's rescinded, hunting is prohibited in the towns of Lewiston, Lisbon, Bowdoin, and Monmouth. Now, I can see both sides of it. Now, the Public Safety Commissioner for Maine, Michael Soschek, said, be vigilant. People need to be vigilant and pay attention. Duh. And with the heightened orders, heightened you know, warnings that we're getting about just terrorism in general after what's happened in Gaza and in Israel, well, of course. But I'm not sure that prohibiting hunting is the right answer there. What are they afraid of? That he'll use the cover of hunting to fire up? He's going to shoot where he's going to shoot. That's what's going to happen. They're expected to hold another press conference. That should have been going on a little bit ago. So, yeah. Still haven't located him. I'm going to touch on that later on. I'm just flabbergasted that they say they haven't located him. So Cackles Harris. One of the things she said as she spoke, she said, we ought to do what our friends in Australia have done and confiscate guns. I'm not even sure. Oh, I have a couple theories. I think that she's being pushed to be the one to say that. Dopey Joe's was I'm urging Congress to pass an assault weapons ban. So he comes off less reactionary, less fanatic. He looks moderated about it. He looks like he's keeping a level head. They're posing that. I think they're trying to portray that. Now here's how seriously you could take the Cackles thing. Cackles is taken off to the UK with second husband Doug Emhoff. And this is a guy I thought was going to pork kill Biden. I'll tell you in a second why he's not. So he's going along with her. She's going to meet with them and blah, blah, blah. He's going to speak to groups about women's empowerment. Seriously, this guy's going over there to speak about women's empowerment. I mean, anybody that's going to do that can't be porking anybody because it means he's got no balls. He's going over there to talk about women's empowerment. Look, guys, for you men out there, be good to your wives. Be good to your sisters, your daughters, your mothers, grandmothers. Be good to your loved ones and of the female persuasion. Be good to them. Empowering women stuff. Women are good enough at that on themselves. They don't need us to do that. They don't need people with no sack who are trying to show that they're empathetic. Because all you are is pathetic. Anyway, so Cackle said that. Dopey is just urging Congress to pass an assault weapons ban. Now let's address number one, Cackles. She says we ought to do what our friends in Australia have done. Well, we found out a lot since Australia did that. When Australia was positing and putting forward all these ideas and statistics they were including in their gun death statistics domestic abuse, domestic instances, which, you know, that's half and half. They were including suicides in their gun deaths. They were including accidental discharge. They were including, in some cases, law enforcement activity. Talk about in Australia how much it's lowered. You know what they've done? They've backed out suicides. They've backed out all domestic situations. They've backed out law enforcement encounters. Those are no longer counted among their gun deaths for these statistics. That's a little disingenuous, isn't it? Now, Dopey Joe, I'm urging Congress to pass an assault weapons ban. Based on what? People are talking about AR-15s, and he was possibly using an AR-15. Guess what? An AR-15 is not an assault weapon. AR does not stand for assault rifle. It stands for Armalite rifle. The model and or the maker, depending, stands for Armalite rifle. It does not stand for assault rifle. An assault weapon, if you're going to have to classify, I guess you could say a military-grade automatic, you could constitute as an assault weapon, military-grade. When you go military versus military, it's not an assault weapon. It's a military-grade weapon. Guess what? Assault weapons are already illegal. You are not allowed to own an automatic rifle. without very strict licensing issues and justification. But everyday average Hank Jones cannot buy an automatic rifle or an automatic handgun. Cannot do it. Now, to their mind, semi-automatic is automatic. But here's the problem. You cannot. I'll give you the classic example, the classic gun for this. Go to a gun shop and ask to fire. You probably won't find an 1100, Remington 1100 shotgun, but go ask to fire, if you can, test on a Remington 1100 or an 1187, or ask any, you know, a Browning, a BAR. Ask them to test fire, and you'll learn something. Okay, you don't have to cock the gun each time. Like, I have a pump shotgun. I have to pump it between, you know, to engage the next round in the chamber, the semi-auto. But guess what? You can't hold that thing down. You cannot hold that thing down and keep firing. It will not fire. You must release the trigger, have it go back to full, and then shoot again. And even then, there is a slight delay. You cannot. A bolt action, it's moderately, if that moderately, slightly, maybe slightly faster than a well-operated pump shotgun. But no, you cannot buy an automatic weapon where you just hold the trigger down. You cannot do that. That's why if you listen to the audio of the Pulse nightclub shooting, that's why you know it was not a six sour. They tried to use the bump stock crap or that, like they did with Vegas. There was an automatic weapon involved there. Listen to it and you'll know. It doesn't take an idiot. It doesn't take a genius. It literally doesn't even take an idiot to figure it out, to listen to that. So no, you cannot buy one. Could you get one illegally? Yeah. You can also buy cars illegally. Cigarettes, alcohol. All different types of drugs. Buy that illegally without proper procedure, without proper retail license, without paying a tax on it, whatever. But you cannot go in to a gun purveyor, whether that be a Bass Pro Shops, a Cabela's, Sporting Goods probably doesn't sell any firearms by this point, Walmart, any place that sells firearms, you cannot go in and buy an automatic rifle, shotgun, or handgun. Cannot. Unable. Not possible. So what's he calling for exactly? Now, if he wants to call an AR-15 an assault rifle based on the fact of how it looks, I guess he could. I guess when once it's explained properly to the Supreme Court, they will laugh at it, as any responsible gun owner would. Why? Simple. Because an AR-15 is not an assault weapon. It is not any faster or any easier. It might be slightly lighter. So what? You still have to shoot it. You still have to aim it. You still have to deal with recoil. Now, it's usually in, they talk about it in 223, chambered in 223, but not always. So, no, you cannot buy one. So, would anybody like to ask me, or would anybody like to answer? Nobody's logged in today. That's okay. I did this on a whim. Would anybody like to know what was the longest, most debated aspect of the formulation of the Second Amendment? Well, I can tell you some of the answers. To allow for the formation of a military. Want to know the answer to that one? How about this? Allow for weapons possession in times of war. What do you think? How about to properly equip law enforcement organizations and agency. You think that's it? Whether people were responsible enough to own a firearm.
The review you had on Shark Sandwich, which was merely a two-word review, just said shit sandwich.
Where did they print that?
No, really.
You can't print that.
That's correct. That's not the answer either. Would anybody like to guess? Well, since nobody's here, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what the most lengthy debate and what the most hotly debated topic was in the formulation of the Second Amendment. Now, I've had people come back and say, oh, that's not it. They didn't debate that. Yes, it was. Trust me. It was. The most hotly debated or furiously debated and lengthy debate formulation of the Second Amendment. Anybody want to know? I'm trying to build this up. Do you think it was this? The types of weapons involved. Nope. You think was, it's got to evolve. You think it was that? Nope. You want to know what the fact of the matter is right here when it comes to Big Left and firearms?
You can't handle the truth.
That's damn right. So what do you think Big Left thinks? What do you think Big Left thinks about private ownership of firearms? Okay. The most hotly debated and most longest debate with regard to the Second Amendment was this. It was the right... Mandatory ownership of possession versus the right or the self-choice. That simple. It was not the type of weapons. It was not for a military. It was not for law enforcement. No, it was very simple. Whether it has to be required, whether we must do it, whether it's the right of people or whether should people have the option. Do you want to know why? You know what the debate was? What about those who have a conscientious objection to owning or using a firearm? A family of Quakers? They might have the option, but their objection, their self-objection, their conscientious objection is real. It was a fundamental part of peace and nonviolence is a fundamental part of their foundation. What about people like maybe the Amish, although I don't think they were that big here then, but you know, someone like that who would say, no, we don't own that for the purpose of taking a life. Wasn't anything. It was. What about those who object on moral grounds? How do you make them own something? You don't. Hell, by that time we were legitimately able to say this is America. So yeah, that was it. Now, you know what else was a big problem? Okay, so we've mandated ownership of firearms. Who pays for it? See where this is going? Yeah, right to 2009 and 2010. The mandate that you must maintain health insurance. Well, same thing. If we mandate it, do we mandate that you have to buy it? Or do we pay for it? Now, in the case of health insurance, they want a government-controlled health insurance. And it's easy to sell because there are enough people that don't want to pay for it, that don't want to pay for anything. So hell yeah, government's paying for it. In their mind, government isn't the taxpayer. Government's government. Most people don't care where government gets its money because those people don't pay into the system in the first place. Good way to sell some of those same people on gun ownership because they've never been provided a government weapon. They've never been provided a household firearm. So guess what? To them, anybody that is wealthy enough or is able to own a firearm shouldn't. Government shouldn't buy a firearm. They don't buy me one. How is that funded? How would you fund that? Because if you're going to mandate ownership of a firearm, you better be prepared to pay for it, especially over the objection of someone who has a moral objection to ownership of a firearm in the first place. Now, this argument, you hear this all the time with the First Amendment, or from First Amendment people. Well, that was when they were firing muskets. They didn't have bow and arrows and muskets. Yeah, you know what? The First Amendment was written when we were writing with quill and ink, inkwells, and feathers on the end of our pens, on paper that served a dual purpose. You wrote on it. You also wipe your butt with it or your mouth, whatever. That's what was going on with the first. There was no internet. There was no typewriters. There was no fact checkers from Facebook. First Amendment was written at the same, or was adopted at the same time as the Second Amendment. So when you tell me that the Second Amendment's outdated, it's no more or less outdated than the First Amendment. Damn right. So what's it say? The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Bear arms. Now, this is something I hope people won't argue with me. You shouldn't. But with every right comes an obligation. With the First Amendment. Okay, I'll tell you an example. Someone that I've a mutual follower on Twitter. Her name is Julie. And Julie's pretty smart. Julie's real smart. And she's really sweet, and she writes these daily things, daily inspirational, daily inspirations. And they are really nice, really sweet. They're not syrupy. They're very, it says, good morning, wishing you all a wonderful Friday. Let's say a prayer for troops and ones who have been deployed. Keep all those who are suffering from loss in our hearts. Life can change in a second. Make sure you are happy because you are important. That's just one of the things. But pinned at the top of Julie's Twitter profile is this. The tongue has no bones, but it is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words. Now, that is not, strictly speaking, what the First Amendment is about. It's not regulating the First Amendment. That's not what she's talking about. But it is inherent in our First Amendment right. Does the First Amendment say you can't insult people? No. First Amendment doesn't even require truth. Boy, if you want to talk about an amendment that might need a little overhaul, that would be it. Julie's absolutely right. You have an obligation under the First Amendment not to be a jackwagon. Now, again, you have the right to be one, but you have a moral obligation not to be one to someone you don't know or to someone that might be vulnerable for whatever reason. Well, the same thing applies to the Second Amendment. As with anything else, be safe. Be responsible and be vigilant if you choose to own a firearm. Vigilant how? Well, vigilant protecting it. Don't leave it loose. Don't leave it loaded without a safety. If the safety isn't properly working, get it fixed or fix it if you know how. Be safe. Don't wave it around. Know where it's pointed. Keep it pointed away from people. Know your target. Don't fire something that you see across the street when you know that there's a house there and kids playing in the backyard. Yeah, be safe. Be responsible. Don't go brandishing it and letting kids think that that's the way that they should act and that it's cool to act that way. If a kid asks you if you own a gun and you do, explain that you do. Explain why you do. Explain that how safe you've got to be with it. It's almost, you could say, it's an obligation. It's a burden. Burden to be safe. Tough. Do it. So I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to talk about how we get over some of these objections. How do you deal with anti-gunners? In a nice way, in a way that is not automatically confrontational, in a way that is hurtful, because there's no reason to be. A little subway from the French Connection sort of applies here, sort of apropos for today's discussion. Be right back. And we are back after that incredible piece from Don Ellis called Subway. It was for the French Connection soundtrack, soundtrack to the movie. That is the actual movie take. It's not what you get on the album, the soundtrack album, but that is what you hear in the movie. Great movie. And one could argue that Popeye Doyle at the end of that shot indiscriminately. Wouldn't get any argument from me. It doesn't mean I don't love the movie and don't love the character of Popeye Doyle. So, we're back. The number to call if you have any questions, or more accurately, if you have something you really want to say in regard to this discussion of the Second Amendment or this diatribe on the Second Amendment, if you will. How do you address objections? When you get people to say, guns are just wrong. Guns are killing it. We just can't believe people don't. It comes up. It comes up all the time. You know, to get into some of what I've discussed, it's not going to fall on deaf ears. It's people that don't even care. It's because, you know what, all they've been told is that guns are bad. They've rarely had any good examples, proper, responsible, safe, and enjoyable firearms use and ownership. What do they see? They see stories of crazed maniacs running through a McDonald's or a school or a bowling alley in Maine or a bar or a nightclub like the Pulse place, like San Bernardino at Fort Hood. Something was supposed to be going on at Fort Dix yesterday, but I did not see anything else on it. So that may have been a false alarm or a false flag. Who knows? And in this case, we don't know. There are a lot of questions about this. I mean, we can't locate this guy. My God, they pulled people that attended J6 out of nowhere. But they can't find this guy? Something's wrong. And they putting a lot of it on TV at his house with law enforcement calling out over the megaphone. That's rather weird. I didn't go into some of that when I was talking about the lifting of the state shelter in place. It said that expert, what did it say? Highly trained or border officers. Highly trained border officers or elite border protection units were involved now. I didn't know I didn't know we had any. The way it looks to me, our border protection it's not at the border. If they're elite, they're not being used at the border. That's messed up. But so that's all people see. They even see that. They see the cops get on there on TV. We used to have a sheriff in Orange County here in Orlando area. He's a decent enough guy. He's a conservative guy, but he was a little over the top in his – he'd drive around after hurricanes, get back in your house. Hey, you know what? Can it? But that's all people have seen. They've either seen king shit cops, because cops are – rarely, if ever, portrayed. When there's an officer involved shooting, now the news assumption in media that officer involved shooting equals automatic infringement of rights, abuse of power, civil rights, hate crime. So you can't set up a law enforcement. I mean, they'll say, well, but Hank, the reason for the Second Amendment is for law enforcement. They can't even trust law enforcement now. The Dan Rather types, although I cite Dan Rather because I remember, you know, 50 years ago, like I said, if he said something on the news, you pretty much accepted it as fact that what he was talking about, that he was reporting facts. Now, what are they reporting? Well, if it's a police officer, it's automatically. So when they tell you, well, it's for law enforcement, well, wait a second, you trust law enforcement? Because from what I've been told, that's the last people we should trust, according to MSDNC. So how do you get over this? Well, number one, you be the example. Be safe and responsible. How do you do that? Well, one, know your firearm. If you've been given a firearm, ask about it. If they didn't know, learn. Go to your local gun shop. Tell them I was given this firearm. I was left this firearm in a will or whatever. Tell them you'd like to know more about it. If you have no interest in owning it, then ask them what's the proper way to transfer that ownership to someone else. Don't ask them to buy it from you. It's not a pawn shop. Don't go into a pawn shop and sell it either. But I'm presuming that if you're going to go to that length to ask, you have an interest in maintaining it and owning it. So know your firearm. Know the type. I mean, I know there's the obvious. It's a handgun. But I mean, you know, okay, this is a bolt-action rifle. This is a pump-action shotgun. You know, I mean, it's a revolver. Whatever. Know your firearm. Know what it is. Know the type. Know how it operates. So how does this thing operate? How do you load it? How do you safely load it? Where is the safety? How does it work? So know how it operates. Ask to be shown how to shoot it. Now, this is assuming you don't own a firearm at all, but you are interested. So practice shooting it. And then maintain it for performance and for safety. Clean it. It's not hard to learn to clean a gun. Be safe. Make certain that it's not loaded. And ask them to show you how to check the chamber of any firearm. So maintain it for performance and for safety. Practice shooting it. So be safe and responsible. That's simple. That's the best example you can be. So some of you listen to the show and remember when I had a guy on my show named Fred Akins. Fred is retired from the auto industry. He admits he's a gearhead. I call him Gearhead Fred when he comes on the show. Fred knows his autos. He knows boats. He knows engines. He knows all kinds of stuff. So a couple years ago, I was dead set against the concept of hybrids. I laughed at people in Priuses. Fred laughs at people in Priuses too, by the way. He says there's no more self-entitled person on the planet than a Prius owner. That aside, I was dead set against the concept of electric vehicles, hybrids, whatever. And after talking with Fred, both off show and during the show, he helped me see, look, there's a legitimate use and a legitimate reason for the existence of electric vehicles and for hybrids. Now, as he says, not every vehicle suits every person. As he talked about, I live in Orlando area. If I'm driving to Miami, an electric vehicle is not going to be the answer. If that's what I'm doing every day, if I'm getting on the highway every day, an electric vehicle is not the answer. Even the ones that are plug-in chargers or whatever, it's not the answer. At least right now, it's not. Now, you do have the plug-in hybrids. You also have the hybrids that utilize your braking system to charge. And hybrids are a great example, as he said, of a good, you know, if you do about an equal amount of city and highway driving, a hybrid charges certain ways. When you're braking frequently in the city, that helps charge the batteries. When you need the power, you've got your internal combustion engine. So electric vehicles, as I was shocked to learn, are very fast off the line, faster than gas engines. But the long term, you know, the long haul, no, they're not there. But there's a use for them. And he's even talked about, you know, pickup trucks, work trucks, that people are using their electric vehicles as generators and power sources on the job. They no longer need to carry generators. Now you can say, oh, what about the generator? Well, not everybody's doing that. But the point is, if you're going to make the investment, it might preclude the need for buying a generator as well. You've heard electric vehicle batteries can die and that they're not necessarily replaceable or repairable, but they aren't necessarily dead either. They can be used for other purposes. They can be used as a secondary source of power in a home. It's like a backup power source. They simply cannot power the drivetrain anymore. That's a work in progress to get it to that point. But my point is this. I was dead set against electric vehicles, hybrids, anything that I thought was greenyville. Now, Fred also talked about, I assume once he was talking about that autonomous vehicles, he must be all for that. He's no, hell no, it's not the foregone wave of the future. He pointed out the people that want autonomous vehicles are big tech. They don't like the idea of four people in a car, one of whom is not consuming data because he or she is actually occupied with the safety required to drive an automobile. So they think autonomous. And autonomous vehicles, boy, there are issues there. As he said, you're talking about multiple grids in terms of power, electric, internet, grids required to maintain the traffic flow, et cetera. And as I've pointed out, when somebody says, you know, you can be playing Candy Crush on your tablet. Well, the idea of playing Candy Crush on my tablet is not much of a solace when I look up to see that I'm going into the ass end of a semi at 78 miles an hour. Don't care that I could be on my tablet. In fact, I could be in a car and not be on my tablet, and it doesn't bother me. So he has his limits. He's not Mr. Greeny in any sense of the word. And he says, autonomous is ridiculous. But there is a market and a use and a niche for electric vehicles and for hybrids. Well, guess what? If Fred can pull me off that ledge or pull me out of that mindset, then you can do the same thing with a friend or a neighbor or a family member who is vociferously anti-gun. Now, I'm not talking like Rob Reiner, David Crosby anti-gun. God, no. Hopefully you don't have anybody like that in your family or in your circle. So it starts with this. Talk to your neighbors, your friends, your family that are anti-gun. If you used to be, so much the better. Or if you were always noncommittal, you didn't care one way or the other. But now, with what's going on, the unrest, this economy, this government, you've decided to actively partake, to own a firearm, to be proficient. Talk to them. Explain to them. You know what? I used to listen to that too. When they say, well, all these statistics, point out suicides. Point out mental health. Point out gang violence. Point out the fact that criminals don't obey any laws, not just gun laws. Talk about that. Demonstrate that you're a responsible firearms owner. Explain why. Explain how you came to that conclusion. Explain how you managed to come to the point where you purchased a firearm. How you learned it. Demonstrate your responsibility. Demonstrate that this is where I keep it. And by the way, yes, I know there are people that say, I keep a gun right handy. That's not a good idea usually for a variety of reasons. You can put it you can store it in a way that does not endanger others, but does not burdensome to be able to get to and use. So demonstrate that. Demonstrate that you might have a trigger lock or a gun safe or whatever. Demonstrate that. Demonstrate, this is my cleaning kit. I clean it after I've fired it, or I clean it after every three times at the range. I limit myself at the range to 100 rounds, so I realize that I need to definitely clean it after 300 or whatever it is. Demonstrate your responsible ownership, your maintenance. Invite them to go shopping with you. Tell them, look, we're not buying a gun, but I want you to see how it works. When you go to the gun shop, I'm going to talk to them, and I want you to talk to them as a novice so you understand how they deal with this. They deal with this every day. Invite them to go shooting. Take them to the range with you. If they don't want to shoot, that's fine. be safe. Have them wear ear protection, eye protection. Show them why it's important. Tell them you don't like the idea of losing an eye or losing your hearing. Engage in simulation, whether it's a game or whether it's skeet shooting or five stand, whatever. Take them hunting if you think that they would stomach it. All of those things, that is how, I don't want to say combat, that is how we overcome irrational objection to firearms and the Second Amendment. A shoot 'em up culture, it is responsible ownership, and it is our constitutional right, and it's our moral right as citizens to protect our country. Have a great weekend, folks. Be safe. Pray for the people of Israel and pray for this country. God bless you, folks. Amen. Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.